Welcome to the Cut Unload Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin. Well, my Facebook feed over the last week or so has just been chock-a-block, in fact, the last couple of weeks, with people celebrating finals in the Barossa-like Gawler region, netball, football, the whole lot.
It's been on, mate. It's been on.
And there's been, like, obviously lots of different people I know in different teams. So, but the thing, of course, I turned on the news the other night and my wife yells out, "Quick, you got to see this. This is in Gawler." And so what do I see? Not the actual football, but whatever happened after the game, after the big grand final on the weekend.
Yeah, that really did get blown out of proportion. There was just a couple of guys, as usual. You see it all the time. Every second game, there's stuff like that. But it just happened to be filmed, and they sort of like blew it up, and it made a big story. And I thought to myself, it's just a bit of push and shove. I think one punch was landed or something, and you know, just a couple of people pulling each other apart, and it happened just 10 seconds or something.
Isn't it a shame when?
Yes, it is.
You know, like again, there's a great game of footy which we'll get to, and obviously a great comeback.
Yep,
and then on the news, rather than talk about that, it talks about some stupid people doing stupid stuff.
I think it's, and we've spoken before about this, it's indicative of the media. They're looking for negative stuff to hang their stories on. Give me a break. With COVID-19 and everything, the positive story surely outweighs that, surely.
Well, like last season, we didn't even know whether a season would get off the ground, and now we've got stuff happening and a great grand final. Let's celebrate all that stuff. But let's get back to every year, well, not every year, because we haven't been doing that this long, have we?
No, what we have done
is I test you on your thoughts and your predictions.
Here we go.
Yeah.
How good was I?
Well, let's have a think of it. I went back and found my notes.
As you do.
I wrote them down as I said I would. Now, I'm going to tell you the top four that you predicted in the footy. This is A-grade footy. You went South Gawler number one.
Yeah.
Angaston second. Yeah. You actually predicted a South Gawler Angaston grand final.
Yeah.
So I'm just putting that out there for you.
Good.
You had Williston in third, Tanunda in fourth, and you had Newry as the dark horse.
Well, you know, that's not too bad.
Well, it is not. It's pretty good. I think when you compare that to the AFL media, you did pretty well.
Well, four of the five teams you mentioned made the final.
Exactly. And you had South Gawler number one.
Yeah, and in the last, I think late in the season, Williston beat Angaston, which knocked Angaston out, who were second.
Right, so you had that right.
Yeah,
almost. So you must have been disappointed.
No, not at all.
So how did it all finish up? Let's leave the grand final for a sec, but like at the end of the minor round, what was the deal?
Well, the knockout semi saw Williston up against Tanunda, who were the running premiers, and South Gawler, who only lost one game all year, played New Hope, who hopped into second spot.
Right.
And in those first finals, the first week, Williston beat Tanunda by 4 goals. A little bit of a surprise, but, yeah, you can accept that. In the second semi, it was really close. South won by 4 points, but they won 7 goals, 16 points to 8 goals, 6. So they actually had 9 more scoring shots, but they only won by 4 points.
Poorly.
Yeah, very poorly. But that's footy. And then in the Plymouth final, Williston got up over Newry by 5 goals.
So did Williston come from fourth?
Yeah. Right. They've just scraped into the top four in the last game.
And then played in the grand final.
Made it by percentage.
And at half time?
No, through the second quarter. Through the second quarter, they were leading 9 goals, 2, 56 points to 0-0-0.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Well, it's unbelievable. And, you know, a lot of people have sort of put on there that they were 57 points because at half time they were 9-goal-3. But when South kicked their first goal about 8-9 minutes into the second quarter, Williston were 9-goal-2, 56. And Josh Whitwer kicked South's first goal, like I said, about almost 9 minutes in. So, and then Williston got a point after that. So, and then South kicked another 3 goals before half time. So Williston kicked with the wind in the first quarter, 5-goal-2-0. Second quarter, 9-goal-3-4. Third quarter, when Williston had the win, that's when South won the game. They kicked 5-goal-1-1-2. So at three quarter time, South were 9-goal-1 to Williston 10-goal-5. And remember what I said about the second semi with South 7-16. So they straightened up a bit, thankfully.
Well, they learned. That's great. They learned from their mistakes in the prelim. Well, not. I mean, it was a mistake. They won. So if you win, you're in there, aren't you? So what was the atmosphere like early in that game then? Like when obviously Williston come out and were just. Were they dominating? What was going on?
There was four or five incidents that like Williston snapped out of a pack and hoped went through for goal and it did. A couple of times South of running up and they had the play and the ball bounced over their head and there's four or five of those things all went Williston's way, whereas later on in the game they went South's way. So everything evens it up, but it really Williston were probably four or five goals better. They were definitely not nine goals better at that stage, the way the game was played. But South really need to do a bit of homework and fix it up. And I think a telling move was when they put Jackson Dare back in defence, he seemed to cement it back there, and that sort of stopped the leakage and Williston stopped kicking, you know, multiple goals.
So at halftime, if you weren't at the game and you say you're just watching it or listening to it, you would have been clearly thinking that South were in trouble.
Big trouble, absolute. But I was sitting in the stands there with Dean Talbot from Caller Central, so basically we're both fairly, you know, haven't really got a
neutral,
you know. And when it was 9-2, I looked at the scoreboard and I said to Dean, I should take a photo of that and laugh. And I wish I had. Then we were talking about what South's chances were because, like I said, Williston didn't look like they were playing as a nine-goal better team. And because South had the wind, I said, well, look, if South get, say, four goals before halftime, they'll be back in it if they hold Williston. And Dean sort of agreed, but he said maybe five. And as it turned out, it was four. And then at halftime, like I said, it was 9-3 to Williston, four goals to South. And then the third quarter, 9-1 to 10-5. So Williston was, you know, 10 points up at three-quarter time, but all the momentum was with South. And in the last quarter, South kicked they missed a few, but they kicked, six goals, three, and they held Williston to two. So they were in front, and in fact, young Josh Whitwear kicked the goal that put him in front for the first time. But South got 17 points up, and then Williston kicked a couple of late goals to get within 5 points. South took it down, got another point, so they won 15-5 to 14-5 in the end. And really, it looked like Williston were going to win, then it looked like South had the momentum and they'll win easy. Then when Williston had a chance at the end, it looked like Williston might snatch it. It was a great game of footy.
Sounds like it.
Unbelievable. And you know, to look at the best players, it's hard because there's so many people would coming into games, part of the game, then going out of it. But I think for mine, Josh Whitwear got the award for best on ground. He kicked four goals, and he was a very good contributor. I thought, like I said, Jackson Dare possibly was my best for South. Dean Cutting kicked three goals and was a real force up forward for them. Then you got guys like South Ruckman this year, you know, guys like Brodie Hudson and Chris James. It's always give them first look at the ball around the centre. So, you know, they've got a good unit. Now, Williston, they got Oliver Petrohilas kicked four goals early, and he was sort of the guy that was sort of on fire for them. But I thought Tyson Earlham, he was really good all game for them. But Michael Clinch for Williston in the back line, I thought he was best on ground. I thought he was the best player. Just the way he sort of like, you know, repelled so many of those early South attacks, and he seemed just such a cruisy but efficient footballer, the way he sort of handles himself back there. Cool as a cucumber, but he always seemed to be the player that sort of rebounded the ball. So, you know, it was a pretty even game. But like I said, probably the best two players on the ground were Williston players.
Wow. And it's obviously been, I mean, you said South went through and only lost one game for the whole season?
To Williston. That was a close one. And then the second time they played, I think South were like five goals down at three-quarter time and got up by a point. So the writing was on the wall.
And obviously, I mean, South, as you said, almost got knocked out in the prelim. So it must have
second
been
semi.
Second semi.
No, so, not, they get a double chance.
They get a double chance. But so obviously the competition is a very even. Strong, even competition.
Yeah, it is. I mean, South were probably the better team all season. They have the players, the overall balance, I think. They were premiership favourites. I went to the game expecting South to win.
Well, you did. You said that from the start of the season.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they were runners up a couple of times in the last half a dozen years, so they've been around the mark, and they had the longest drought of the current teams. They haven't won since 1993. Freeling haven't won since 1994, and Willesden haven't won since 1999.
Right.
So it was always going to be a drought-breaking premiership, whoever won.
So maybe Melbourne versus Bulldogs, drought-breaking premiership?
Possibly. I mean, Melbourne's last premiership was 1964, the same as South Adelaide, who are still in the SNFL.
South, you mentioned that the other day, and then South won on the weekend, just to go to a different story. But I was excited because you said, imagine that, it was South and Melbourne.
Yeah, but it's possible, but probably unlikely for South. I mean, Glenelg got a pretty good team, and then the Eagles. I was hoping for South to get in there. I was hoping Glenelg would beat Eagles because I think South have got a better chance against Eagles. They match up better against Eagles than they do against Glenelg.
So if you're a Willesden, getting back to the Gawler Brossoli, if you were a Willesden supporter, I mean, obviously you're going to be disappointed because you're in the box seat early in the game. But would they go away now, like with a bit of time to reflect and think they've had a pretty good year?
Well, look, I think they the way they've come back late in the year to make the finals, to get through to the grand final, that's a plus, plus, plus. I mean, they've done really well. They also had the Mount Medal, so everything's sort of worked in their favour. But, you know, at the end of the day, to be 9-2 to nothing, to no score at all and lose, that is a bit of a kick in the teeth.
And you think that might be hard to come back from. But, like, that's why I asked the question. You were at the game, I wasn't. But, you know, sometimes, like, when I watched a bit of the Port game, they were getting beaten in the prelim, but you could see they weren't competitive.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you watch a game
Port
and
Power.
You think, yeah, Port Power, yeah. Like, you go, well, they're just not competitive. And so other times you can watch a game and you think, there's not much in this. And so you get that feeling, this could turn. And obviously that's what happened in this game. But Andrew Jarman's their coach, I see, as well. You talked about it earlier in the year. And he got a bit of flack, of course, on his radio show.
Oh, yeah, did you listen? I think I put that on Facebook. You would have seen it on there. But, yeah, he was saying something along the lines of he was talking about the B plan and stuff like that, there is no B plan, it's always an A plan. And they replayed where he was talking to the Port coach asking him about the B plan.
So is he continuing next year? Has that been announced or not? Or don't know?
Don't know. It's one of those things that, you know, people need to, you know, settle down, review everything. But I think he deserves another crack. He's been very good for Willesden, I think.
Well, he's got that. I mean, he's a very interesting personality, isn't he? But you think he brings something, obviously, with his football knowledge and experience to this area. And obviously getting Willesden from fourth into the grand final and having it being in a position where you could win it. I mean,
and then they had that second win. They had the second win late and almost stole the game. That would have been amazing. But also, Gavin Chaplin used to play for Central District. He was a coach of South Gawler. Yeah. So we better mention him because he's a reasonably big name as well. Now, I'll tell you something very strange. Wouldn't it have been unusual if South had been undefeated and lost the grand final? Very rarely that happens, but occasionally it does, and it's a bit of a surprise when that type of thing happens.
Did it happen this year?
In the netball.
Oh, wow.
Barossa District did not lose a game until the grand final. And Gawler Central came from like 5 goals down early to win it by 2 goals. I think it was 53-51. Last week, they were 12 goals down and come up and won the preliminary final. So, and that's Gawler Central's first A1 netball flag for about 15 years since Graham Fisher was their coach, I think.
Isn't that fabulous? And you think this is the stuff, I mean, we've talked about different types of sport, different levels of sport, but of course, we know that everything gets saturated with the top-level sport, but these are the things that people, like, will remember forever. Like, it's part of their history now.
Well, you know, these games create the stories of legends.
Yeah.
You know, their local legends sometimes are, you know, there's so many of them that everyone remembers those local legends, whereas in your AFL type, in your top league, they have your heroes like, you know, Michael Jordan, et cetera, et cetera, and a lot of the others play in their shadow. But in this type of competition, they play in no one's shadow. They create their own legends.
And that's what I loved about seeing all the different feeds on Facebook from people I mean, some were obviously lost and some won, but and some were divisions that people go, oh, who cares? But for those people that they care, that's their group, that's their team, that's their mates, and they're out there playing together. And you can just see all the love and the fun that they have.
Well, just before we knock off, I will say a congratulations to Evanston Gardens Gold, who went back-to-back over 3 years because they didn't play last season because of the pandemic. Indoor Bowls champion of the Gawler District Indoor Bowls League and undefeated. So it was a real feather in the cap. Nathan Lee was the major skipper of the club and played a fantastic.
Any other legends we're aware of in that team?
John Burton from Burton Jewelers. Yeah, yeah. He was in there. We won 63-59.
We won?
Against Roseworthy. Yes, I play for them. So that's our fourth premiership since we won in 13 and 14, 19 and 21. Of course, it was
the most successful sporting team in Gawler region.
No, but we'll take it. So is another Carlin Lade Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
John Carlin.